Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
At Hassle Cattle Company, turkey is out, beef is in. Hassle Cattle is giving our amazing listeners a holiday special with 15% off your entire purchase at HassleCattleCompany.com. Use the code DNVR15 at HassleCattleCompany.com. Get 15% off your entire purchase. There's nothing better than delicious Wagyu beef as a holiday gift. Treat your guests right, or you can send this to family and friends for a unique and unforgettable Christmas gift. It will definitely be unforgettable. Use the code DNVR15 at checkout at HassleCattleCompany.com for 15% off your entire order. Also, if you order over $200 in Hassle Cattle Company, you're going to get free shipping. Again, that's code DNVR15 at HassleCattleCompany.com. They've got the best Wagyu beef around. They've got everything from smoked sausage to New York strip to bacon to Wagyu Franks. They've got everything. Use the code DNVR15 for 15% off your order at HassleCattleCompany.com.
Wow. I don't know. Don't know how to intro this one. What up, everyone?
What's
Welcome
up?
Into the... The Losers Lounge.
Oh, man.
A Winners Lounge till the last second. We touched our foot to the stairs.
I was about 95% sure this is going to be a Winners Lounge.
Oh, Carrie's turned back into a pumpkin. We are here in the Losers Lounge. After the Denver Nuggets fall 108-103 to the Orlando Magic in Orlando, the Magic grabbed their first lead with roughly 90 seconds left in the game. And that was all they needed. We're here to break it down. Back in studio, back in Denver, I got Harrison Wind.
Sorry I had to bring the bad vibes back with me, guys. But
you were so close to walking into a winner's lounge and just hamming it up.
I know. I walked in here with a little swagger, a little pep in my step, excited for a winner's lounge. And this is what happens.
The fellow who the chat is accurately blaming for jinxing it at the end of the pregame show in the green polo down there, it's Superstar Dev.
How do we get here? How do we get here?
Some people are saying you.
Wait,
some
what happened at the end of the pregame show? I gotta
stopped
know,
myself
I wasn't
short.
Here.
I almost said I'll see you in the winner's lounge, and then okay. I said I don't want to jinx it, and then Dev said it anyway.
I don't even think that's jinxing it. I just I expected them to win the game, like most of us did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
really
believe in jinxing
it for saying I think they're gonna win.
And we're also joined by the art director from the Top Gun sequel, Eric Wiedem.
Goddamn, you come in here wearing a goddamn bomber,
I do.
Literal bomber jacket,
and
worn in 1945.
And I get dunked on it every time. So
this is not a.
It's a nice jacket.
It's a corduroy. Corduroy is not fit to fly. I didn't. I was trying to debate whether I was going to say a single word on this show, but now I'm enraged.
There we go.
Where did you get that jacket?
I got it online at the Levi's store.
Nice.
It looks really good. I was.
It looks well made. Is what it looks.
It's really turned around.
It looks very well made.
Let's go.
Okay, well, we have the honor of breaking down that absolute stinker of a second half that Denver just put on display.
Sometimes people are like, man, I wish I had your job.
And you're like, yeah.
Come take it.
Wait till they lose to Gary Harris and RJ Hampton.
One job opening right now.
That's right.
On the set.
All of a sudden, it ain't so sweet. Harrison, I'll go to you first. Your big takeaway after that game.
It's like I want to say this isn't a bad loss because the Nuggets are undermanned. They're on this road trip. They've just been in Florida for like 4 days now. Yeah, anytime you're in Florida for 4 days, it's not good.
Right.
Like just the weather, the humidity, the people, it all wears on you. So I
feel like you're in hell at day three.
It's just not a place you want to be for more than like a day. That being said, this is a bad loss because this is the Orlando Magic. And look, the Orlando Magic are fun to talk about. Oh, they got Wendell Carter. They got Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton, Mo Bamba. But when you watch them actually play a game, you're like, these dudes suck. They're not good. This is the game Denver should have dominated. They dominated the first half. Then they let their foot off the gas. So it's a bad loss. And the guys who played good tonight, it's a pretty short list, but I don't think Nikola Jokic is on it.
Yeah.
And that's something we don't say a lot.
I'm going to jump in really quick because I agree. That's mine. That was the first game of the year.
That was mine too.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
You can't steal mine.
that I think, honestly, that's the first game of the year where it went to such an extent where I go, I'm going to put that one on Jokic. He wasn't the only player that struggled, but that's the Denver Nuggets. I mean, that's just that's his lot in this life. He needs to be great every night, and it was the first time in a long time that he wasn't. And then also to Harrison's point, from a narrative perspective, is it a bad loss? No. I mean, we know the Nuggets are better than the Magic, but how about a golden opportunity to start that road trip 2-0, which was a gift and one that they let slip through their fingers? Yeah. Devil, go to you next.
Yeah, just giving one away to a team of that magnitude, like, that is not a good team. You look at that roster, you look at, you know, where Orlando is in the season, and also where the Nuggets strive to be, and you can't lose those type of games. I think oftentimes you look at the schedule and you say, that's a schedule loss. This was not a schedule loss. This was a team that played down to their competition and the opposing team that felt like they were going to go steal one, and they did. So, brutal loss, like, all together, but a lot more pressure on them to start playing a little bit better during their road trip, which is not fun to say.
Yeah, Eric, do you have any big takeaways that besides pain and sorrow?
The manner in which they lost was so exquisitely painful. Mm. It was the biggest FU that we have been delivered by the Denver Nuggets in some time, to be leading the entire game, to be toying with their food, and then to just like absolutely just be like, well, whatever. To lose the lead in the last minute and a half after leading the entire goddamn game and then have absolutely no answer. Just absolutely, like, the final plays that they ran were...
The end of game execution was a disaster.
Disaster. Like, it doesn't look like they'd ever practiced before. I don't know what they were doing. Like, it was gross. Like, I'm, like, personally offended by the way that the Denver Nuggets handled their business tonight. It was terrible.
To Dev's point, though, right now, where this team's at, the injuries, every win is sacred. Every win is so valuable. You can't mess around if you have a winnable game.
Oh.
And that's what Denver had tonight. And they messed around, and they lost. Look, now they got to go to New York.
Yep.
Now they got to go to Chicago.
Yep.
There's 5 games left on this road trip. They're going to be undermanned for most of it, just in the backcourt especially. So it's not going to get easier. And when you have a game that is just right there for the taking, you've got to pounce on it. And this team over the last year or so, I think, has shown us that they've been able to do that, and they're kind of over losing to the really bad teams. If you look at their record against under 500 teams, it's a lot better than you think it is.
Right.
I thought they were passing, but this was one of those losses from like 2018-19.
Right. Absolutely. And look, it's where it comes at the start of this road trip where we spent like weeks going through it. How many of these games can they win? Right. What can we realistically hope for at the end? 2-0 was on a platter to start, and they let it slip through. So
pity.
Pity. The Nuggets led this game for almost the entire game.
Yep.
It was a great first half. In part, that tone set by Aaron Gordon, fellows who played about 37 minutes, almost 38 minutes, 17 points, 7 of 12 shooting, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Dev, what did you see from Aaron Gordon tonight? How would you evaluate his return to Orlando?
First off, I think it was great for him to get the tribute video. I did expect it. And it was something that, like, he seemed to really want. So for him to go out and play the way that he's been playing all year, that was a game that was set up for him to dominate in. Yeah. For him to go out and score and also just be very active in himself. And I felt like he was that tonight, especially on the offensive end. I've always said I think it's just very difficult for him on nights where there's not a single guy that he's just like keyed in on, where he's just kind of just running around and trying to figure it out. But right now I feel like he's trying to find himself on the offensive end and fit in a little bit more on that side. And he comes up with 17 points. He has 12 field goal attempts, which is just something that we haven't seen, you know, a lot of from him. I felt like he was making sure to be aggressive and attacking. I mean, he succeeded at that and on the boards.
Yeah, I liked a lot of what Gordon did tonight. I mean, he was 7 of 12 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. So he was 6 of 7 from 2. And that's Aaron Gordon at his best. I loved his spirit tonight, kind of just the joy he was playing with. There's that picture that Ryan Green tweeted out, Kale, if you want to bring it up. Like, it's so emblematic of how happy Aaron Gordon is to be in Denver and how happy he is to be out of Orlando.
And makes it so hard to believe they lost this game eventually.
Right? I know. Right.
Like, this was a symbolic of tonight's first half.
Yeah.
This was tonight's first half.
Yes. This is the part that is, like, so heartbreaking, is that this was the type of game that we were given in the first half.
It was supposed to be a storybook game for Aaron Gordon tonight.
We were laughing. We were making fun of the poor, hapless Orlando Magic.
They can't
score. We were like, look at them do their little things on the court. Isn't this adorable? And then I don't know what happened.
But Gordon was attacking the rim. He's shooting a career high in the restricted area in the paint this season. He's having the most efficient season of his career by a mile. Like, it's not even close. And I thought offensively he had the right mindset again tonight until the second half, when the offense just kind of stalled and guys stopped moving and the threes started getting chucked up.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if this is just him per se, but I actually think 12 shots was not enough tonight. Or I was expecting I should say, given him being in Orlando. Only the fourth most on the team, but only because 6 of 7 from 2, it just felt like that was there for him, right? Keep taking it to the rack, keep cutting, keep driving aggressively. But to Wynn's point, the wheels fell off sort of the whole operation there in the second
half. You felt like he really wanted this one, Aaron Gordon, too.
Oh, it got a sting for him.
And whenever he's talked about his tenure in Miami, like, he's very happy to be in Denver. He's very happy to be playing for a winner. I don't think he has any disdain for the Magic or anything. Like, he enjoyed his time there, but it was time to move on. But you just got the feeling he really wanted this one. So I feel for him because he played well enough to win.
And I did see, you know, I would have to see matchup data and look back at some of those possessions at a time. Spent a good amount of time on Cole Anthony, some point of attack defense, where he spent a lot of his time as a defender for Denver. But Cole Anthony obviously got it going in that fourth quarter. We'll talk about that a bit later, I'm sure. Eric, I'll go to you Kale, I'll go to you, our king of the game.
Me?
Monte Morris.
Let's talk about the king of the game.
22 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists.
The king in the mid-range.
Defensively wasn't as great, but
single-handedly bringing the mid-range back.
Yeah, I mean, among the most, probably the most capable-looking offensive player tonight. Eric, what'd you see from Monte?
Monte was great. At a certain point, we were like, this dude is automatic. Just pulling up. We put out on Twitter, mid-range Morris. Or we say Monte mid-range. What do we say?
We said mid-ranger Morris.
Mid-ranger Morris.
It was
we
a big
coined
hit.
It. And then, then everything collapsed on itself. But things were looking great for old Monte. Like, he wasn't very efficient from the three, as I recall. But the mid-range, man. He looked poised. Every shot that he took inside the arc, I was sure was going to go in. And sure enough, it did. It all went in. He looked great. Like, it's just, this is a game where it's just so frustrating when you get good performances out of a few guys. And then, like, I can't even really forensically figure out what the hell happened. Like, I still don't know exactly how this fell apart.
Well, the defense was pretty bad in the second half, but
even
the offense
still,
was
it seems
too.
Like preposterous.
I know.
The third quarter was a disaster. Orlando outscored Denver 32-20 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Starters were not ready to play after halftime. That's really when the wheels started to fall off.
Clearly. Bizarre.
Dev, Eric's right. Monte just 1 of 5 from 3 tonight, and that's really been the tale of his season so far. But the mid-ranger coming around.
Yeah, I like the fact that he's getting to where he wants to get to and finishing at a way higher level than I feel like he was last year. I mean, I feel like that's a part of just getting healthy, but also just I feel like that's something that he worked on like extensively throughout the summer. and just stepping into that role of being the starter. This was a game I feel like he started off a little shaky, like where he got a turnover. He had three turnovers, which is uncharacteristic of him, but he also made up for it in different ways of trying to score, of understanding that he had the mismatch, so he's going to make something happen.
Yeah.
Seeing that other guys around him didn't have it going on as much, so he was like, okay, I'm going to step into that role. He was a minus three in the game, but I think that that was just a part of that third quarter where you can't deem it on him. You can't put it on him because he did what he had to do in this game. I feel like when you have 22 points in a game and just show that you are a starting point guard in this league, I feel like that goes a long way. So
sure.
It was great to see him be the king of the game.
Oh, so kingly.
Yeah. I thought this was playoff Monte tonight. This is the Monte Morris from the Blazers series.
He's
you know?
The only one that viewed this as a big game. big game Tay arrived.
Big game Tay recognizing a big game. No, I mean, he got to his spots like Dev was saying, got to the mid-range, attacked the rim a couple times, got to the line. I don't even know. Did he get to the line? I remember two.
One of two. He did shoot two free throws.
I remember it was a give and go with Jokic, and he got fouled on the head. I remember that.
He did get to the line.
Yeah, he got to the line once.
One time.
it doesn't have him as a steal, but I feel like I remember a strip, on a shot.
He was active defensively.
And he just took it out.
Are we doing his active now?
Yeah,
he went
to the line.
He got a strip. Didn't he have a behind the back, like a doopty-doo or something also?
That's what he does. He's a point guard.
No, but I thought this was the aggressive Monte that we've seen at times this season. He's had a couple games like this. You know, Monte has had a pretty solid season, all things considered. Yeah. I think he's been about what we expected him to be, stepping in for Jamal Murray. You know, I didn't expect him to really exceed what he's done this year by a lot, but he's been fairly consistent. His three-point shot hasn't been there, but he's had a couple nights this year like tonight where he looks like that guy in the Blazers series that can kind of take over for stretches, to be honest, and he did.
I see some people saying he was bad on defense tonight. I kind of think Monte usually is, or just limited and small, and so I didn't know if it was particularly bad tonight, but that was just on first watch.
There were a bunch of miscues in that second half where guys just were looking at each other with their hands up.
Yep.
Jeff Green, Monte, like AG, there were three or four of those.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
It was rough.
One way or another, between Monte, Will, and AG, it was way too easy for those guards. And Faku, too.
Man. Why are we talking about old stuff? Do we really want to talk about this game more? Like, Jesus.
Remember when Jokic went clubbing? Which may have been part of the problem.
I know.
All right. Jeff Green is a starter. We know the Jeff Green thing. Does anyone have any strong Jeff Green takes?
I thought he looked good tonight.
Yeah.
Offensively, I don't know. It just seems like
4 points, or no, 9 points. Excuse me.
I mean, like he wasn't dominant,
2-5 from the floor, but he shot free throws.
He looked like competent. Like there are nights where Jeff Green looks like he just doesn't want to play basketball anymore.
Yeah.
He's like reevaluating. He's like, how many teams have I been on? Like, really?
Look,
like,
when the Nuggets play well, Jeff Green plays well. When they don't play well, he doesn't play well.
Yes, and I don't know. I thought.
That's analytics.
But I like just the continuation of the conversation from last game where, you know, he like actually fits in pretty well with this starting lineup. You know, he doesn't bring everything that offensively that MPJ would, but he can cut to the rim. He's like, you know, like he tried to take a member of the Orlando Magic to the shadow realm, as he would like to say.
That's right.
he was like fine, right? Played basketball night.
I think he looked a little bit different. Like it was a new role for him, because usually we see him cutting and just like kind of working well alongside Jokic. In this game, he's kind of stayed out on the perimeter, and made things happen from there. He knocked down
two
three pointers in the game, and that was big because the Nuggets shot horribly from three tonight. Like they just did not shoot well. So to see two of them go in, especially from him. You know, I think that could go a long way on an inside, like outside attack where they just kind of have to figure it out. And then I do remember the missed layup where he usually just like finishes that well. But I mean, it was an okay game for him. It was just kind of like he was just around.
That is great. Like I love like a you and I both had like just a 2-minute explanation where at the end we were like he was fine.
That's exactly why I framed the question this way. By the way, instead before we talk ourselves,
we're like he was good, but then he was bad.
Nothing.
But he was fine in the end. He was okay.
I have one observation. I have an observation from Jeff Green tonight.
I'll take it.
I don't know how anyone goes for a Jeff Green pump fake.
Oh man, it looks different too.
It doesn't look anything like his normal shot.
Nobody's shoots. He just like, holds it out like his head.
He just goes, whoop. What if one time he does? He just goes, whoop.
Go back and watch Jeff Green like pump
joke.
Fake.
It's like, yeah, it's like a joke.
So
like,
funny, dude.
There is a guy, Sam Young, who used to be on the Pacers, who played at Pitt, who had a very similar pump fake where he just put two hands straight up in the air, and people went for it every single time.
And the same people that go for the Jeff Green pump fake are the same defenders that bite on the Austin Rivers jab step every time. Oh, God. Nice going to the left.
All right, guys. We do have to talk about some of the things that plagued the Nuggets tonight, like defense and turnovers, and both of those are germane when we talk about two key players, two Jermaine starters Green. That we're usually praising on the other side of the break.
Oh, I can't wait, dude. I'll listen to anything. Just need to do the end of that tease.
Oh, you have to do the reads. I forgot to. No, just
oh,
kidding.
Shoot.
No, it's okay. I'll do the reads. Are we on Wednesday's show?
Yes.
We're on Wednesday's show.
We are on Wednesday's show.
All right, guys. Make sure to pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager from Breckenridge Brewery. It's the beer of the Denver Nuggets season. Hope you had some on hand tonight. The Mile High City Copper Lager. It's in that Nuggets blue can with the Nuggets logo on it. You can't miss it. Pick some up at your local liquor store, your local grocery store. Sometimes have it if you're out at the Breck Brew Farmhouse in Littleton. Pick some up there. The Mile High City Copper Lager from Breck Brew. If you're down in the Denver area, stop into the DNVR bar. Tons of different Breck beers on tap every single day. Also, guys, let's talk about sleep, because I can't wait to get to sleep tonight.
Me either.
And right. I am going to lay down on my snooze flip mattress from Snooze Sleep and enjoy one of the best nights of sleep of my life. I already know.
Like, I don't want to cut you
that's
off.
That's what's going to happen.
I've heard that's the only true 4-in-1 mattress on the market.
It is. It is.
That's crazy.
It's the most universal mattress on the planet. Wow. Not even the market. The planet.
The planet. Whoa. Not even the market.
We're transcending markets here. With the Snooze Flip, you can customize your sleep experience to fit your needs. One side is soft, one side is firm. You can flip it to the side that fits your body best. The cover, it's also reversible with one side up to 5 degrees cooler and cozy warm on the other side. Zippable cover makes the Snooze Flip a true 4-in-1 mattress. So they've got a great deal going on for DNVR members and listeners and watchers of the show. You can save $250 off your mattress and $250 off your adjustable base.
Whoa.
With the code DNVR. That's snoozesleep.com.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah,
it is a lot of money. And it's an investment that will pay off for the rest of your life.
Right.
Facts. You might, at this point in your life, be a hot and hard gentleman. Later on in life, you might be soft and cold.
Yeah, you go through phases.
Or you just fall off a cliff at a certain point. Yeah.
Use code DNVR, receive $250 off your mattress and $250 off your adjustable base.
We're talking about TV in the chat, just FYI.
Is that it? Did you?
I'm going to throw a DraftKings pick in the week.
Oh,
pick of the week in here as
dude,
well.
Dude, I'm picking the Munder tonight against Orlando. Yeah. That thing can't miss.
Yeah. That was. I still think that was a good bet. It just didn't hit. You know, so there are those good bets that you can make that don't
hit. It was a great
hit.
Bet that got blown out by.
Yeah.
Sometimes good shots.
Who are the
don't
Broncos
fall.
Playing this week?
The Broncos are playing the Chiefs on Sunday night. We're having a big party here at the DNVR bar.
Yeah. Same
this place. Is only the second primetime game the Broncos have been given, and
deservingly so,
and we're gonna make a big deal of it. We had it last time when they had a primetime game and they got the doors blown off of them, but it didn't matter because we all had a grand old time.
I'm taking the Broncos +9.5.
Whoa,
for my DraftKings pick of the week.
I love it.
Taking it, mark it down, lock it in, +9.5 Broncos over Chiefs.
Right, okay,
DraftKings pick of the week. Now we're done.
Are you done?
Wow.
You move so much faster than me and Eric. I almost don't know what to do with it. Okay.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
I like that you're just like not at all paying attention to it, regardless of his speed. You can follow the words he says.
Yeah,
I don't think really that was that fast.
You
that
know,
was
just a, like set a timer. You're
a
like,
well done
turn
couple
back
reads.
On in
sorry,
30
guys.
Seconds.
I don't usually host, as Adam will have you know. It's a lot of work.
Will be Buckets the third, and the B was not for Buckets tonight.
B was for bad?
He did score 14 points, but he took 13 shots. 2 of 6 from three, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, some poor defense. And honestly, guys, I feel like that box score almost a little generous. Just from the eye test, Will Barton Dev did not look good tonight.
Yeah, on either side of the ball. Like, I really do feel like he was so bad on defense that it kind of rolled over to the offensive side of things. Just could not get into a flow. Just kind of looks lost out there at times. And tonight was one of those times. where you understand where the frustration comes with them, not making shots, taking very, very tough shots. I could just, like, remember, first off, the last shot of the game was pretty tough. But also, there was a point in time that he tried to go for the foul. A guy missed, and he still just threw it at the rim. Like, those type of, like, miscues and plays just make it hard for the offense to find a flow. So I feel like he was just, like, laboring out there, really. I do think that something is up with him. I do.
You do? Like what?
Just maybe lingering issues or just something that's just not right with him.
He's playing a career-high minutes.
He doesn't look – I'm trying to figure out the right way to frame it. Something does look different, right? Maybe it's a little more trepidatious, but he was very aggressive, and I don't know. He just maybe looks like it's dialed back a little. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, but he's had some good games recently.
It's true.
So that's the thing. Like, he's had some nice scoring games too recently. So I don't know. I mean, the one thing I would think of is, like I said, he is playing a career high in minutes.
Yep.
That's a scary prospect for me this early in the season. But they need him to, because they're already so decimated by injuries. But Barton's night, for me, it's just kind of overshadowed by the end of the game.
Yep.
Because, like, if we can just review what happened at the end of the game.
We have to.
Denver was down three with, what, like 15 seconds left or so. They got a stop, and then they had no idea what to do. It seemed like they didn't know if they wanted to get a quick two.
Yep.
They didn't know if they wanted to set something up for three. Malone had a timeout. He only had one timeout for the last, like, 3-4 minutes of the game, and that was another thing. There was a stretch where Barton was sitting at the scorer's table for a couple minutes. Faku was in the game, but they couldn't get him in because there wasn't a stoppage, and Malone had burned his second-to-last timeout on that challenge. So they had that one timeout. It seemed like they didn't know what they wanted to do with, like, 10 seconds left. They called the timeout, and then they set up a play where Barton gets a really tough look, and funny enough, it's Gary Harris defending on that play. Probably gets away with a little push, but, you know, they're probably not going to call that foul, so it's good defense. A tough look to settle for.
Yep.
They had some time too, like, what, 5 seconds left or something, so
the part about that tough.
Maybe not five, but a couple seconds
was
left.
That he and Jokic are playing a little two-man game, sort of, although it was super discombobulated. Jokic passes it off to Barton, whose foot is on the line, so he wanted to take a shot, but then he looked down, realized he was about to take a two, so he had to, like, pull back.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was a mess. That's when the timeout got called. And the same thing, like, Barton was not seriously looking to take a shot. He was just trying to get fouled.
At the end, you think?
Yes, he was.
No, he was trying to take that shot.
Well, I think that he just walked the ball up. So, like, the time in possession, he didn't. I don't think he understood. Because they're down three, so you kind of have to rush, because if you miss, you need a rebound. He kind of had it at the last time, as if he was going to take the last shot. But if you miss, you lose. So that was difficult. Then I think at that point, his feet were just not set. And then he was forced to take a timeout. But I really don't think he wanted to take the shot. He wanted to set up Jokic. Who was just kind of like, okay, we're kind of like, we're just kind of lost right now.
Well, he took it and airballed it.
And And I think, look, so was that a 15?
He did get fouled, though.
15-4 run for Orlando to close
the
game, something like that. And no, look, bad play design, agreed. But even before that timeout, that looked disjointed. And as I sit here and try to think what went so wrong at the end of the game, I think one factor in it is, what's plan A for the Nuggets in the end of a close game? Find Jokic. Everything's going to go through Jokic. And tonight was a, like, we don't even know what happens if we give the ball to Jokic. You know? I just felt like there was a, he wasn't hitting those shots. He was turning the ball over. He was getting blocked. And I just think maybe, I don't know, the wheels kind of got loose from there, because that's sort of where they look in those moments to be their rock. Yeah. And he was not tonight.
Yeah, it was super weird. Just that scenario, plant Jokic at the nail, put him at the elbow, just give him the ball and clear out.
Yeah.
If they double, we can find somebody that's open.
Right.
Or Monte go get the ball, run a pick and roll. It was just nobody really wanted to take control of that situation.
Yes, exactly.
Which is weird, because this is a veteran team. Monte Morris, Will Barton, like, these guys have been there before.
It's true, because
it was just like they were caught in this malaise the entire second
the
half and couldn't snap out of it. They were in Orlando, maybe a little
the days
bubble
of malaise.
Malaise.
The days of malaise are back upon us.
God, I hate Orlando.
Orlando, Orlando is a fine city. Just kidding.
No, it's a terrible place.
Nobody wants to go to Orlando.
They built all these amusement parks there because it's very cheap land.
Gary Harris can't wait to get out of Orlando. Did you see his face tonight? He's not happy.
Nobody's happy.
He's not having a good
time. None of us are having a good time. yeah, that's the thing is that like when you have somebody that you rely upon so heavily, they're out of the, they're not in the roster, you lose by 20. They're not engaged at the end. No one knows what to do. So it is heavy is the head that weighs the crown, wears the crown, as we've said. But Jokic looked like he was just wearing like a big, like heavy backpack all night.
Yeah.
Like he just, his arms were like, just, I mean, I would bet a lot of money he was hungover. If I was a betting man, which I'm a betting man.
There's no way, man. They had a day off.
It's an entire day.
I
think they may have done it two days in a row.
What really stood out for me?
I think maybe they went back to the Grandestino and whooped it up, dude.
So we talk about that team being like a, veteran team and whatnot, but I feel like we haven't seen many like end-of-the-clock situations where they have to rely on a guy. Like I feel like that was the first time all year where it came down to one of the final shots or the final shot because they, like, did their work early or they were out of it early. And then also you have to, like, really think about, like, first off, it's so many changes with the team, like, who they closed with and things like that, that I really just don't feel like that's a team that you, like, rely on that last shot where they've seen much of it. So I think it's a little difficult for them.
I think that's a great point by Dev because I'm looking at the Nuggets' schedule right now. And this was the this was the first game that was decided, like, by a couple points in, like, a month.
Yep.
Going back to the, like, early November against Indiana, against Houston.
Yep.
The game where Michael Porter got hurt. Ah. They haven't had a close game like that in a while. So I think that's a valid point.
Yeah, I sort of, and some of the times where it felt like maybe they would, like, it's been a collective effort. I remember writing that in the grades as well. That one of our questions coming into the season would be how do they handle those close, those clutch moments? Is it the Barton Jokic two-man game? And it is true. We actually haven't had to see it much. And so maybe just more evidence that it's still something they're navigating. But again, I think the biggest factor in this is like ideally in a night where you're fully confident in him, you just plant Jokic in his spot on the floor and you go from there. But Jokic on the night, guys, 7 of 19 from the floor, 36%, 0 of 5 from 3. Including the wide open 3-pointer where he balked, you know, and
he
just
two
like,
of those. Where he just like did like 7 pump fakes.
Yeah, and actually like, never even took it. So I shouldn't say including, but just kind of a weird tentative night from 3. 15 rebounds, which is insane. 7 assists, but he turned it over 5 times. I mean, Dev, am I allowed to say by his standards, relative to what we expect, am I allowed to say that this a bad Jokic game?
I feel like it was not a bad Jokic game. I just feel like it was a game that we have not first off, we didn't expect it from him. I feel like that was a game that he could have just destroyed in and dominated. And he did for the most part, but he just was not engaged. I don't think that he wanted it. I don't think there was any type of incentive for him in the game. And it was just kind of like going with it. There also was the 0 for 5 from 3. And Malone like alluded to the fact that maybe his hand was like hurting him before the game. So there is some like lingering issues with that or just not being able to play at the same level. But I really do attribute it to just him not being into the game.
My thing was like with him was that he just didn't ever play all. He never put everything together in the first half. He was playing well enough, but he just wasn't scoring. Like, and in the second half, he started to score, but like everything else fell apart. He just had one thing working and like another wasn't.
This was a classic game for Jokic, I think, against a really bad Magic team where his mindset was, all right, I don't need to score 35 tonight. Like, maybe this can be a game where I get everybody else going. Yeah. That was clearly the mindset he came out with, and that's fine, but he needed to turn it on at a certain point, and he just didn't have it. The wrist thing's interesting because going back to when he came back last game versus the Heat, Malone has talked about how, and I think Jokic even talked about this too, he wanted to come back against Milwaukee, and his wrist was feeling good, and then it tightened up the day of the game, he said.
Yep.
And he then said in Miami, like, I don't know if it was the weather or what, but it just loosened up, it felt better. So I was able to play. Now, still in the same climate, so I don't know if that theory holds up in Orlando. But maybe it's just tightened up on him. I don't know.
It's crazy because Jokic's wrist is a very much a precision instrument. Like,
it's pretty integral to his game.
Yeah, I mean, integral. You know, it's like
I'd be curious to see what he would say because typically I would assume that Jokic dismisses this right away.
Oh, I'm sure he says it's fine.
But he did, to your point though, the way he talked about that injury, it does seem like something that's affecting him differently than he anticipated.
He did say that after last game, but then said he's feeling fine.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I don't want to make this about. I think the reality is he just didn't play very well. Yeah. He wasn't very focused.
He also seemed like really frustrated with everybody else.
Everyone, the refs, his teammates.
It wasn't just like he was he was
I'm telling you, man, you spend that long in Florida.
I agree with you. This
you
is
just
the
become
you've ever had.
Just an annoying person. You become a bad dude when you spend that long in Florida.
It's so true.
The weather, the humidity, the food, the people, it just eats at you.
Would Jokic become a Florida man if he played for the Orlando Magic?
God. I agree with you, Eric. I think that's a good point. Like, his demeanor, it just didn't... Yeah, his head just wasn't in
it
tonight.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was more than just, like, he wasn't...
And I didn't think his first half was that great either. I mean, Jokic is so good that when you go, oh, this wasn't that good, you can always go, okay, well, look at the numbers. You're better than you think.
It is absurd to criticize Jokic.
Right.
Except for that, like... You know, of course the other Nuggets weren't as good as he is. Jokic lives on a plane where the ceiling is that, like, he scores 18, gets 12 rebounds, and has 8 assists, and we're mad at him because he didn't do it. But like, it for him, like, these are relative terms.
But again, it's yeah, whatever. All right, you're right. Forgot my point. I'm just going to move on.
Tight.
Oh, do you guys want to talk about something fun?
Oh, what are we talking about?
Zeke Nnaji played tonight.
Hell yeah, he did.
And he at least shot the ball well. 3 of 3 from the floor, 2 of 2 from 3, 100% from 3. He's now shooting well over 60% on the year.
Yeah.
18 minutes logged. Obviously, they needed him tonight. Didn't rebound the ball. Didn't have a lot of loud moments, but did knock down the 2 threes. And what did you see from friend of the show, Zeke Nnaji?
I love kind of the role he's settling into offensively. He's obviously got a lot of confidence in his jumper again. Confidence that kind of waned a little bit at the very beginning of the season. But he's got it back now. He's really not hesitating much when he's got an open three. And you love to see it because he's proven for one and a quarter seasons now that he's a very good NBA three-point shooter.
Yeah.
I think for his career, he's something like 47% right now. Which is a great mark on a bunch of attempts. So I love just the offensive role he settled into. Defensively, I thought he was fine. Like, not great, not incredible, but nobody on the Nuggets really was. So thought it was a solid night for him. I just want to see 15 games of Zeke Nnaji playing 15 to 20 minutes a game. Like, that's what I want to see for these next 15 games. Zeke Nnaji as the third or fourth big off the bench, playing with Jokic, playing with the bench, mixing and matching with different lineups. I just want to see that sustained for like 20 games and see what we think of him after that.
Mm. And he was the first tonight, although JaMychal Green returning from an injury. Dev, what do you think of Zeke's night?
I love the consistency from him from deep. He's shooting the piss out of the ball. Like, he really is knocking it down at a high level.
How did that phrase even like develop?
I think you probably like beat the piss out of somebody.
Yeah.
And then that's like
you beat them so hard
they pee themselves. Yes. But then it's like one of those things that just like got, it's a game of telephone.
Yeah, then you do it to a ball. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then you shoot the piss out of the ball.
Right.
The ball, just to be clear, never
you
has
shoot it
any
so
piss.
Well, no point, it pisses.
There's never
no
piss
point
in the ball.
Is it loaded with piss.
That is actually like great history lesson right there.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad we did that.
He really is like knocking down the three ball. At a very, very high clip.
Ridiculous, right? Yeah.
I feel like he picked up like a couple of like early fouls, and that kind of like derailed the rest of his night. But again, it's just the role. They needed him to step up. It's great to see him take over some of those JaMychal Green minutes, just because you know that there's something else. It's a change up. It's a switch up. And also, he's only going to get better by playing minutes. He's only going to get better by being out there with the team. So. For him to go out there and play 18 minutes, like, it is a step in the right direction. It is Malone showing that he trusts in him a little bit more. And you're starting to see more and more from him. I don't feel like that was a bad game. I feel like it's just a game where he's starting to see a little bit more.
Yeah.
And also the block.
I think I'm still waiting to see some of the other stuff a little more. I think he's a more willing roller than either Jeff or Jermichael, and I like that dynamic. Although we have yet to see him look, you know, particularly competent around the rim. He was a great rebounder in college, and he is spending a fair amount of time on the perimeter in some of these units, but he hasn't been racking those numbers up. So some of the more traditional, like, big things and less of a stretch, I'd like to see that as well.
Yeah.
But I didn't think the bench was that bad tonight.
In stretches.
The
bench was like a very, like we had moments where, and frankly, I think Zeke was probably one of the brightest spots on that bench.
Sure.
He
led all bench scorers.
He was great. Yeah. Like, he was really knocking down his shots.
I like Zeke with the bench, Eric. I do.
We had to make it through Dos Verdes, which was just the most.
Tonight, in the last game in Miami, I was just like, imagine what we'd think of this bench if it was Zeke Nagy taking all those pick and pop threes over the first 15 games of the season and not Dos Verdes.
Yep. I agree.
It'd be a much better world that we'd be living in.
This world that we're living in? Are we back to 500?
No, we dropped below 500.
We're below 500.
Yeah, I think we're 10 and 11
Welcome
now.
Welcome to purgatory. Right.
10 and 11.
Yeah.
Marcus Howard logged 14 minutes tonight, fellas. He wasn't very good. 105 from the floor, 105 from three. You already pretty much know if he's not scoring, you can't expect much else. But he needed to play, so it's not a rotation criticism. But, Dev, I'll go back to you on this one. An opportunity for Marcus. Did you see anything that excited you?
I hate when a guy has an opportunity to step up and, you know, try to put themselves in a position to earn more minutes and then don't. Like, Marcus Howard's ego and, he understands his role is to try to score and shoot the ball. But also, it's such a tough, you know, player to be in the league, because if you're not doing those things, what else do you bring to the team?
Yep.
He's undersized. He's not a great defender. He doesn't really bring a spark or energy off the bench. So he really needs to hit the three baller. He really needs to score. And we really haven't seen, you know, many of those games from him. We've seen probably one, you know, when everyone was out. So I think it's a really tough role for him to be in. And tonight was a night where his number was called, and he just wasn't ready for it. And they really, really needed him to be ready for it. Bones Highland's out for, you know, the next 7 days or so. You have the chance. They called on you. You have to be ready for that moment.
Wendell, let's hit our second break.
Let's do it. We got this new sponsor on board, guys, Saturday Neon. And if you're curious about what Saturday Neon is, Kale's going to bring up a really cool picture that demonstrates it. They're a Denver-based company, Colorado-owned and operated, that make these signs that you can see at a bar, LED light, neon light, and you can get them of your favorite college team, your school, or just the team you root for. So there's one of CSU, home of David Roddy, DNVR athlete.
DNVR athlete, yeah. David Roddy. By the way, if you guys are interested in, we just dropped a shirt for David Roddy.
We can get that shirt up too. But Saturday Neon, really cool company. You can get those signs for whatever college you're a fan of or whatever your alma mater is. Use code DNVR for 10% off this purchase. Makes a great Christmas gift if you're looking for a Christmas gift for a college sports fan. Like I said, they use LED neon, not glass neon. Super high quality, really well made. Get 10% off your purchase when you use the code DNVR. That's DNVR for a 10% discount off what can be a really cool holiday gift. That's with Saturday Neon. Check those guys out. They're a really cool company. Denver owned and operated as well.
Apartment not included.
Right. Guys, that's a nice
sweet
pad.
That's a sweet pad.
Yeah.
That is like an unbelievably sweet pad.
That's a great view.
It's like such a nice pad that it's like, even like a beautiful light, you're like, put it on the, not on the window.
Don't cloud the window space.
I mean, that window is unbelievable. I mean, the whole thing is, Saturday Neon, of course, but my God.
Football fans, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Look, we all love action-packed, high-scoring games in the NFL, but with this latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any NFL team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get their skin in the game with new same-game parlays. Get those on NBA games, too. They're super fun. They make any game just a little more interesting to watch. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code DNVR. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
You're welcome for all that money tonight, DraftKings.
Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Finally, HassleCattleCompany.com.
Holiday beef train.
Thanksgiving's gone, but we still got Christmas.
You got a bunch of holidays you can...
We got Hanukkah going on right now, people. Shout out.
Oh, man. What do you guys eat normally?
What?
What do we normally eat for Hanukkah? Is there a...
You eat latkes.
Not this year.
Jewish food, nothing to write home about. but also, Hassle Cattle Company, not really aligned with the Jewish tradition.
However, meant to be broken.
We've got Christmas coming up. Order Hassle Cattle Company for your Christmas dinner.
Knowing the answer, it seems weird that you brought up the Hanukkah angle.
I mean, I'm not kosher. Like, I could eat Hassle Cattle Company whenever I want. Will eat it during Hanukkah, but some don't. Get 15% off your entire purchase when you use the code DNVR15 at HassleCattleCompany.com. Order it up for your Christmas dinner. Yeah, it's going to taste great.
And you eat boiled goose?
What?
Come on, guys.
Boiled goose.
Yeah, it's like a traditional English. Whatever. Go ahead. Hassle Cattle Company.
Hassle Cattle Company for understand. Christmas. No better option out there. Use the code DNVR15 for 15% off your entire order.
Hop on that holiday beef train.
Let's go.
The Hanukkah beef
Let's
train.
Let's go. The Hanukkah beef train. Oh, my God.
I wasn't paying attention again. Are you done?
Yeah.
Cool.
Man, vote is the worst.
Do you know how nice it is to check out during the ad reads?
What do you think? Well, no. I actually, that's when I come to life.
You must
turns
look
out.
Like you must be me.
All right, we've hit the part of the night where we get an update from whoever was on the media call tonight. It was the great Adam Mares, the head honcho, in his new, very podcastery setup.
Ooh,
there.
Look at that corner
He's
setup.
Seated.
Look at how
very
relaxed he is.
Yeah,
he has a dog. He's petting.
Oh, I like
look
this.
This is where Adam tries to make you believe he's like a normal guy.
Dogs.
Look at me with my dog. Human dog.
This
thing.
Is my really normal. This dog's always here. Every time. What's up, Adam?
It was always just right here. We were just cuddling. What'd you guys do tonight? Did you watch the Nuggets?
We did. We watched the Nuggets. It was. It was more fun in the first half than the second half. What about you?
It was miserable for me most of the game. This one was pretty gross, man. This was a really gross game. I think I might feel worse about this game than I have just about any other one. But I don't want to bring it down. I know you guys have already brought the vibes full circle. You want to hear from the coach?
Yeah, what did Michael Malone have to say?
Well, Harrison, he was not happy.
Shocker.
He said you can't play a quarter of defense and expect to win in this league. He said, we did that against Miami. We played one half of defense, but we got away with it, and we thought we could do it again, which I think is kind of true. Like, think about that Miami game. They were pretty bad defensively in the second half. It just didn't matter.
We can't hear you super well, man, so we're just going to hand you the keys and let you tear through the notes.
Let me see if this changes anything. I've never done this before on this side. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
We can literally hear you.
It's quiet.
Just a little low.
Yeah. I don't even know why. There's no Nuggets or Avs game still on. It's just loud.
Okay.
UCLA on.
Well, see you.
Oh, see you, UCLA. Let's go. All right, sorry.
Well, the Nuggets allowed 66 points in the paint tonight, which is pretty astonishing since it's the Orlando Magic. This was, I'm telling you guys, this is like the worst defensive effort I've seen this team play. They only gave up six threes. Orlando only had six threes in this game, but they still gave up all those points. And the Nuggets on the other end of the court only took seven shots in the paint total in the second half. So
wow.
It's like the numbers in this game are really crazy. Malone called out the starters. He said the starters were not ready to play tonight, especially coming out of the half. And then this one was a double burn. He says, It was horrible game plan discipline. We let Gary Harris go to his right hand. We should know better than anyone on earth which way Gary is driving. I feel like that's an insult for the Nuggets defense and Gary Harris.
Yeah, definitely.
That is
definitely
a double dagger right into the heart. Man.
So it was pretty bad. Monte talked about Gary. I mean, first he just talked about how he's, you know, he was the guy that was so even keel. He was his vet, his rookie season, the two-way season, and how he has just so much respect for him. Like, he asked about him. And then he said during the game it was hard going against him because he always knew what Denver was going to do, and he kept blowing everything up. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Gary's had a lot of practice at staying even keel in Orlando.
Does Gary ever, does he even have the capacity to not be even keeled?
Yeah, the most emotion I've ever seen him show is after he hit the game winner.
That's right.
Oklahoma City.
And he didn't even smile. He did pump his arm.
Gary, when he hit that shot, tried to leave the arena. Like, he's like, it's too loud. Yeah. I want to get out of here. Monte Morris says it's a little bit of human nature when you get a big lead. I kind of hated hearing that. Like, we all know this is the Nuggets' MO. They always sort of take their foot off the gas for bad teams, especially when they start well. So it's kind of a bummer, you know, just kind of being like, yeah, this is what you do. But he had an interesting comment about the defense where he said, early in the year, we couldn't make any shots, so our defense was locked in. He said, but we've kind of been making shots lately, so we're just not very focused on defense. Hmm. I thought that was pretty telling.
Man.
I guess it's not supposed to be easy to do both at once, right? So maybe they are hitting. And Malone, I think I saw Malone, I don't know if you said it, but that they got lucky in Miami because this dynamic kind of was in play there as well. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yep, I did say that, but you're right. It's very hard to hear. All right,
cool.
I know how it goes.
That was helpful.
Aaron Gordon, he said it was a really weird experience coming into Amway on the other side. He said this one was a really weird experience for him. He also said that this one really hurts, that he really wanted to get this win. And I got to say, man, it was almost sad hearing him say it because it's one of those things where it's like we joke about how Malone, the Nuggets never win in Sacramento, like almost in spite of Malone. But I feel like AG has been such a good fit that this was one where you would expect the whole team to kind of just go all out for AG. And the fact that they didn't is kind of a bummer. It kind of made me sad.
Yeah. I got the sense that AG really wanted this one. And like we were saying earlier, it was setting up to be a total storybook game for him. Like, he had a great first half, I thought, especially offensively.
He was good. Like, he brought it tonight. Monte is the only other guy who kind of brought it, but not really. Can you guys not hear me?
Yeah. Anything else you got from the post game?
Yeah. he just said you can't give a team like this confidence. And the most interesting thing AG said was after the game, somebody said about playing his best basketball. Malone in the pregame said he's playing his best basketball. And he says he feels like he has a couple more gears he can get to. He says there's a lot more to his game that he's still unleashing. So, and he said this not in like a cocky way. It was kind of said as in this, like, hey, guys, I actually have even more. Like, this is nothing. I'm just scraping the surface. I got so much more to sort of unleash. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, I'll say this. Jokic didn't talk tonight, and it was frustrating because this was the first bad Jokic game in a while.
Yes,
and
right.
I thought his energy on it was – it was just almost disappointing. Like, his defense tonight was so bad.
Yep.
It was weird. And I feel like AG – and it just felt sad hearing AG because I feel like this one meant a whole lot to him and the team didn't have his back tonight. So it kind of made me sad.
And you would have felt like Yoke would have maybe recognized that a little, that this is a big game for AG. He really wants it. And, like, he would have helped him to that win.
But he just was not himself.
Yeah. He wasn't.
He's like, he just needed a Snicker bar or something.
He wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really weird for me. I thought we were past it. Look, it's one game. Jokic has been good for 2 years straight. So it's weird. It's like I'm thrown off by the fact that he had a single bad game.
It's one game coming off an emotional win and a really long night at a Miami club.
I know. Like me. I'm a joyful, wonderful person to be around. I was a dick all day today.
That's true. Can confirm.
Amen. Yeah.
Like, sometimes you're just off. You just don't feel it. Seeing
like
people's faces that usually bring me joy angered me today.
Yeah, it was a weird one. I hope Denver bounces back against the Knicks, like, in emotionally, not even win-loss, just kind of effort-wise, because this one was a little concerning. This felt like Pouty Yoke, which we haven't seen an emotional slump in forever, and he just was,
right,
like, emotionally slumping all night. It was weird. I'm a little shook. I'm going to go to bed.
Almost angry, too. I agree. My brain doesn't even know what to do with it. Do I turn this into a thing, or does it just happen sometimes? Because it hasn't happened in so long.
It hasn't happened in so long.
It really hasn't.
All right, well,
that's
anything...
all I got, guys.
Well, thanks for taking the time to join us, man. We appreciate you. Always a pleasure to see you, boss.
Yeah, sure. Have a good night, guys.
See you, man.
Do you know that I'm also your boss?
Are you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I'll write that down.
I'm the third or fourth highest ranking person in this company.
That's a scary notion.
Yeah.
Jesus. Just that FYI. Explains a lot.
I knew that.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here in the DNVR. Oh, we got Super Chat. We better not see Rivers and Bones on a Magic Kingdom ride in the next few days. Don't think you're going to.
What about Bones just live tweeting the game tonight?
I know.
I felt like that was funny, but I also was really depressed because he has to spend 7 days in Orlando.
And he did
quarantine.
Bones is typically online. How online will Bones be?
Oh my god, in quarantine in Orlando? Oh man.
Yeah, he's going to be very online.
Will Bones become part of the internet?
His screen time's going way up.
New rule, if we have a question for Bones, let's just DM him, cuz he might.
You don't even have to DM him. You can just write. You don't even have to add him. You just have to write Bones Highland.
You just say, you're not even about him. You just be like, handle. What's going on, and then just sit back.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're looking for like 3 points difference in energy tonight, you know what I mean, and just like, oh, I'm ready to go.
Oh yeah,
it's a bummer.
Oh yeah,
it's a bummer. All the same, when it's Orlando, you got to win that game either way. We will be back. When are we back? Friday,
Saturday morning
for the Knicks, for the Knickerbockers. We will see you then. Hopefully, it'll be a winner's lounge. Hopefully, it'll be weekend vibes, a party lounge. We appreciate all you hanging out, though. Keep your eyes peeled for that content. Grades for me, written piece from Wind. Some tweets from D-Line, and Dev's going to play Call of Duty. We will see you guys later.
At Hassle Cattle Company, turkey is out, beef is in. Hassle Cattle is giving our amazing listeners a holiday special with 15% off your entire purchase at hasslecattlecompany.com. Use the code DNVR15 at hasslecattlecompany.com. Get 15% off your entire purchase. There's nothing better than delicious Wagyu beef as a holiday gift. Treat your guests right, or you can send this to family and friends for a unique and unforgettable Christmas gift. It will definitely be unforgettable. Use the code DNVR15 at checkout at hasslecattlecompany.com for 15% off your entire order. Also, if you order over $200 in Hassle Cattle Company, you're going to get free shipping. Again, that's code DNVR15 at hasslecattlecompany.com. They've got the best Wagyu beef around. They've got everything from smoked sausage to New York strip to bacon to Wagyu Franks. They've got everything. Use the code DNVR15 for 15% off your order at hasslecattlecompany.com.